to the Radio Life Sciences Podcast for a behind-the-scenes look into GSLS, made by students and educators for the scientists of tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to another episode in the Your Career series of the Radio Life Sciences Podcast. Here we cover different topics related to your career after you have graduated. My name is Tessa and today I'm joined again by Michelle Ritman and Remco van den Kamp, both career officers at Utrecht University. Our student guest today is Meike Hartog, who is a master's student of bio-inspired innovation. Together, we'll be looking at the last phase of career orientation. What phase are we talking about, Remco and Michelle?
The phase we're talking about is what we call at Career Services Get Skilled. And basically, that's the most practical step in the entire process of career orientation. That means that we're going to look at all kinds of documents, such as CV, cover letter, and also prepare you for your job interview.
Okay. And how does this link to the last episodes we talked about career processing?
Well, in the last episodes, we talked about self-exploration, labor market exploration, the personal traits and the environment traits that you feel are important or that you hold and would like to use in your future job. And in this phase, Get Skilled, we also call it Communicate. It's about communication of your personal and e-traits and basically how they fit any job opening that you like. It's basically up to you to show the other person that there's a fit between you as a person and their environment that they're offering.
Nice. Good to hear. And we're going to put this in practice today together with Meike.
Yes. Yes, hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're very happy that you're here. I see you brought a lot of documents. Can you tell us about what you prepared for today?
Yes. So today we're talking about the CV and LinkedIn. So I brought my CV for my study because I found it very hard to already make a CV for a job application that I might have. So I thought, okay, I have one that I worked hard upon for my studies. And I have the values and traits, like a mind map that I think are very important to me and that I want to bring into future jobs.
So you've brought your CV, and you said you've the last time you modified it was for your master's program?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So what did you do? What did you want to communicate? And how did you do this?
Well, I wanted to communicate that I'm very excited to learn about this topic. And therefore, I wanted to highlight my ambition. And I also highlighted the things that I've done in my bachelor that I think are related to this study. So
can you give an example? Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I should also explain my studies a bit. I don't know if that's...
Sure.
So the studies, bio-inspired innovation, it's in the name, but it confuses people also a little bit. So you're basically looking at the biology and because of like the millions of years of evolution that the organisms in nature already have undergone, they have actually found really smart solutions for problems that we as humans also face. So there are example fungi that degrade plastics and we can, use it to make, in the end, the whole world more sustainable. So it's a bit of a, not nice thing to use things to have only a purpose for you. But in the end, we try to make the whole circle more sustainable.
Right.
Yes. So you wrote your CV to get into this master program. And in this, you made you showed examples of how your past experience links to the topics at hand.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So you were about to give an example of what you wanted to put in there to show them that you were fitted.
Yes.
You fit the program.
Exactly. So I said I have written a mini review about the sustainability of a fungal meat substitute, Fusarium venenatum. That is actually the ideal case of bio-inspired innovation, because I don't know if you, I don't remember the name of the product exactly, But it's a meat substitute from fungi that is, yeah, sustainable. And I also highlighted that I did my bachelor thesis for 3 months, and then I highlighted that I set up my own experiment in a really applied industry, which was about bees on green roofs, because green roofs are really now a hot topic, and I wanted to know if there were different kind of green roofs that also had a function for bees. And then I kept in contact with many organizations that had these green roofs. So I was really proud of that I did that on my own. So I wanted to highlight that. Yeah, and I did some work history related stuff.
And can I ask an obvious question, or maybe a question with an obvious answer, but why did you feel you needed to include your thesis and the experiments?
Because it is an academic study, so I suppose that I wanted to know that I would be capable of it.
Right.
And then I thought, okay,
This is part of what you're also will be trained in further in the master, right? Or are you trained in the master?
Well, not exactly on these topics.
No, not on these topics, but the skills.
Yeah, exactly. Included.
Yeah. So you thought, well, I'm going to mention these skills.
Yeah.
This is really a simple thing, but it's maybe sometimes more difficult when we think of jobs, but it's the same essential step. So what are they asking of me to do? What activities should I do? And have I done activities like that before, or parts of the activities, or, you know, the skills that are needed for these activities?
And I don't think it was for me necessary about the skills, but also to show my ambition that
right.
I was like, okay, but I have already done this, and I thereby show that this is like a genuinely interest
yeah.
for me.
And yeah. that's a good addition. So there's two things you need to prove. Am I motivated? Am I suited? Or have I, you know, do I have a little bit of experience on which I could do what you're asking me to do?
Yeah.
These are the core questions of getting a job. Do you want it? And would you be able to do it? Or
yes.
have the basis to start doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And this, and maybe add to this last remark, junior positions always entail, they not expect you to be able to do all these things when you leave university. Maybe a little bit different for junior research positions because you're so much trained in research, but there's so many positions out there which are not trained in at university, and they just require you to have this diploma and then come and work for them and be trained on a job as well.
Mm-hmm. So, Maaike, you brought us your CV, and also for the listeners to be able to follow what we're doing, I would like to propose that we go over it top to bottom. And I'm very curious as to the questions that you have. So maybe let's start from the very beginning. It's your name. I think you don't have questions about that. Next part is your personal information.
I actually have a question, sorry, Michelle.
It's okay.
Because next to the name could be a picture.
Of my face?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
did
a good
you,
thing.
Did you make a decision not to put it in or to put it in? It's not there, so you haven't put it in. But
yeah, I think it may have to do a little bit with aesthetic as well, that I'm just like, if the picture fits in there, how big, and then the whole text shifts. And also you'll see that when we talk about the LinkedIn, I'm kind of like a private person, so mm-hmm. I don't really like sharing that much stuff with random people,
right?
So that's also one of the motivations I made to not include a picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. It's a very good thing that you made that decision for yourself. Also, as you just noticed, it didn't really pique my attention in the first place that you don't have a picture on there, so apparently, I didn't miss it. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So for the people who are listening who want to have a picture, just a general tip, please have a neutral background. Please be the only one in your picture and don't have sunglasses on your head. happens a lot. Right. And it's not really that professional. You don't have to put your passport picture in there. because we all like a natural laugh. But please, if you pick a picture, ask some people around you, is this a good picture for my CV? Yeah.
And what could be pros and cons of including a picture?
Well, the pros would be people have an idea of who you are. Some people have a very bubbly pictures, I would say, and they have that enthusiasm, that energy in general, that really shows from their picture, and it's you can use that to read the CV in general. So with that in mind, you have like, oh, this person is very energetic, I should read this CV in that way. A con would be all sorts of bias,
right?
So that can be if you're male or female, or if you have a certain nationality,
age,
absolutely, all kinds of stuff.
Right. Yeah. And we are just for clarification, we're talking about Dutch labor market right now, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Some
definitely.
Yeah.
Labor markets, some countries, it's not even a thing to consider.
No, absolutely not. Especially the United States, for example,
right.
They really don't want that bias in there. So please don't put a picture on your CV if you want to apply in the United States.
No.
In the Netherlands, it's quite normal, but it's not necessary.
No.
So it's not a disadvantage if you leave it out.
I think it kind of fits our culture, in which it's all the whole process is a little bit more informal, more personal. So one of the advantages, I think, is that you show yourself as a person in a quite factual document. So CV is quite factual. And your name, your picture, and your personal profile, we'll get to that later, are the most personal you can get. And I like that you've made the choice not to do this because this fits your personality. So by not doing it, you're still showing your your personality.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think we'll do it according to the sections in the CV. So I first see address, phone, email, LinkedIn. Can you tell us why you put it there and why you put that there?
I think it's useful for the person that I'm applying it to, especially I think my LinkedIn. That's nice to just know and just look up quickly. No specific reason otherwise, I would say.
Yeah.
I took this template from online somewhere, so
yeah.
That's a little bit
the reason for this.
This is perfectly fine.
Yeah, but templates are really useful because most of the templates are thought, you know, and somebody has thought about where to put things. So, yes, please do so.
And students have asked me, if I'm going to use a template, aren't we all using the same templates?
Yeah.
Is that the case?
Not really. I see a lot of CVs on a weekly basis, I would say. There's never one that's exactly the same.
No. And it's more visual now than 20 years ago. And yes, there's a lot of templates that look alike with two columns, for example. But still, you can show a lot of them. And then the coloring, the letter type, the placement, all gives a different impression. So it's more business-like, or it's more, colors could have meanings. You can use that, or just use the color that you like, or some people want to use the color of the company that they're applying for. That's also an option.
Yes, that's a psychological thing,
It's a psychological
thing.
That's
creative, thing.
Yeah. But there's expression possible, which I like more than, you know, the CV of 20 years ago, which was just
text.
And it's also
basically
more difficult to, you know, to take in the content if there's no any visual guidance there. So also, you know, think about how much information would you want to place on a page. So sometimes people go for one page because they feel it's better than two. For the Netherlands, I would say two is perfectly fine.
Yes.
And especially use two if it's too cramped. Because if it's cramped, then I get cramped. Well, looking at your CV, which means I don't take in the information that well.
Yeah, but don't go over two, right?
Don't go over two. No.
No, there's one exception, and that's an academic CV.
No.
So if they really ask you to include a list of all your academic accomplishments, you will get over two pages, which is perfectly fine in that case.
Good to know.
Yeah. And yeah, with your LinkedIn, are you showing your picture on LinkedIn or not?
I am.
Yeah. Okay.
That's about the only information on there. And I have my bachelor and the university studies that I'm now doing. So,
right.
And I have. Well, that's a different topic. We can go into that later.
Well, maybe. I mean, no, we're talking about LinkedIn. No, just as a general tip, know that you can put more there. So, you know, an abstract of something that you've written or, more description of your project or something visual, a website that you created for a project, for example. You can all add that in your LinkedIn. So that's a good addition to your CV.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I had the only, problem as in, if I want to post something, then everybody gets like that on their board or like...
Timeline.
Yeah. And I think that's just so awkward to put something 3 years back. Like, oh yeah, I did my bachelor then. I was like, that's a little bit... I missed the boat, I feel, for that one. But maybe I'm the only one feeling this.
You're not. There's a lot of students asking these type of questions.
Well, put the alerts off. I mean, if you modify your LinkedIn profile, you can send out alerts to all the people that you're connected with, which is annoying because then every time you save it, then there's an update. So do that at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, as for the social feed of LinkedIn, that's what LinkedIn is for, sharing what you're doing, which could be related to your future career.
Yeah, okay. I should just get over it, over my anxiety, and just post it. Nobody really cares, probably. Or the people that care, they will look at it, but the other ones...
Yeah, and not everybody sees everything, because it's like, Insta,
true.
And you don't see everything, because it's just a general feed.
No, it's an algorithm, just like any other social media platform.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, fair. Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the CV. As for contact information, we stopped just right there. Is there anything else we want to add about that?
If it takes up too much of the view of the CV, I would say put it at the bottom even, or right on the top. It can be a header or right at the bottom.
A footer, yeah.
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 Because
it's not
essential. And yeah, in the classic CV, it was essential. It was right in the middle. So if you have that, please don't do that, because it's not essential.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on down or up.
All right, what I see when we have two columns, that's really common nowadays,
mm-hmm.
is that they put it in the smaller column.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't take up that much space that way. Let's go on to the profile text.
Yeah.
Or there's a lot of different words for this. So some people call it a summary, some people call it a personal text, profile text. Any others I'm forgetting?
Personal profile.
Yeah, personal profile.
Maaike, you have one. Can you tell us a little bit about how you wrote it? Because a lot of people really struggle with putting something up out there.
Are you okay with reading it?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah?
Okay, so this is for the application of my studies. And it says, I am committed to learn how to communicate with an interdisciplinary approach socially relevant themes. I want to actively participate in it to make the transition to a sustainable society possible. I am a hardworking student with knowledge gained throughout excellent classroom and research performances. Dot.
Yeah.
All right. So looking back at it now, because we're two years later maybe?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you look at it right now?
On one side, I think, okay, yeah, great, you're flexing, good job. Another way, I find a little bit awkward how it's written. It's like, okay. I am committed, dot, I want to, dot, I'm a hardworking student. So I think it could be a little bit more dynamic. I like that it's not too long. So yeah, those are my first thoughts about it.
Nice.
I like that you start with motivation, which maybe is obvious because you're doing it for a master's program, but it's sometimes not obvious for students when I look at these personal profiles. And it's mostly sharing qualities, for example. So I am hardworking, I am that. While it's so relevant, it's only your qualities are only relevant to me as a reader if you're using them in the same motivation or for the same drive that I have as a reader. So as an organization, I would love you for you to start with why, what do you want to contribute to? What do you feel is important? What are the topics that you like most? Because then we relate, and then you can share what you can think you can add. So I like that you've done it in that way.
Yeah, and I can add to that that I really agree with you that it's just long enough. It's like three sentences. This is perfect. People want to read this because if it's too long, people stop reading. We don't have the attention span, unfortunately. If I would look at your CV now, a year later, 2 years later, and I would change one thing, maybe it's not even the contents of it. It's the order of the sentences.
Mm.
So perhaps some people are familiar with the why, how, and what structure. That's a TED Talk by Simon Sinek. It works really well to explain who you are, but also your motivation in general. So your first sentence starts with why you want to do something. That's what you did perfectly by explaining your motivation. Your how you want to do that is actually your last sentence right now. So by being that hardworking student, you have that commitment to do it. And what do you actually want to do? That's your second sentence.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting, Michelle, because I would also see that as the why. But I can see how that could also be the what.
Yeah.
But to me, the what is a little bit more concrete, even like I want to be a researcher or in that type of field.
That's a good thing.
Because I want to actively participate. It's still like a mission to the transition and sustainable society possible. But this is just, you know, it's not a factual thing, but this is my feeling about it.
Definitely not. Well, I can kind of agree with you. And I think in that case, we have maybe 1.5 sentence in why and 1.5 sentence in how.
Yeah.
And now we just have to have that last sort of push towards, and now what is the conclusion of this?
Yes.
So that's what you said.
Yeah, so this is like, what type of position are you looking for? What types of organization would I want to start? And in this case, I would like to start with the master, or be part of your master program. It sometimes seems a little bit obvious because, yes, this is what you're writing towards, but for the reader, and then it's like the circle is round. So this is my drive, this is what I could add, and this is where it would... This is my PE fit, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like that you've used words that are not a cliché. And that's difficult sometimes. And maybe ChatGPT is a good friend now in rewriting
it
stuff.
It wasn't 2 years ago,
though.
No. What sort of words would you consider cliché?
Well, the clichés that are also used in job openings, like I'm hardworking or I'm a real team player, those are just like, this is the same effect on recruiters or anybody that wants to hire somebody. Same effect as if you were seeing this normally in life in a commercial, like a company saying, okay, we're most sustainable or we're most efficient. It's like, okay, yeah, everybody says that, but could you maybe say it in a different way in which I can believe it more? And this is in using other words sometimes, but it's also in behavioral terms. So hardworking is actually one of the cliches as well. But you could also think, what is my standard behavior if I'm hardworking? And maybe I can use that in a mini sentence.
Mm-hmm. Which I did.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So that's why I didn't. That's why hardworking is only. I'm only seeing it now because I wasn't caught by it. Like, mm-hmm. Oh God, this is another mm-hmm. cliche.
Okay,
because you're explaining it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not in the list. So some people. Want to make a small list within their sentence. For example, I am hardworking, perseverant, and I'm a team player. But what you did is you still use the word hardworking, but you use it in a sentence. So you actually explain in your sentence what you're doing. So hardworking is also you have knowledge, you have excellent classroom and research performances. That explains to me why you're hardworking.
Mm. Yeah.
So actually you're kind of proving that you are hardworking.
Mm-hmm.
And we started this session with asking, okay, which five ingredients would you like to use in your future job? So rewriting this for your next job would be based on the job opening slash based on these five elements. Sustainability is kind of in there already. You know, creativity, able to look at different perspectives, being curious. These are things, ingredients that you could use to rewrite your... to rewrite this part.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
And if you can't, if it doesn't fit the job opening, then apparently the job opening is not fitting with these elements and maybe it's not the right job opening for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that people say, why should I put this part in there? Because I have my letter. And this, the simple answer is people would read your CV first, select on CV, and they don't read your letter because you're not in the top 10, for example.
All right, let's go on to the next part of your CV. You have education first. Can you tell us something about it? How did you go about writing this part?
Because for my master's, I was like, okay, it's nice to know that there, I have a qualified bachelor degree. Maybe for a job, no. Yeah. I don't know how I would do the order for a job application.
What would you advise in general terms?
It's hard to say that in general, because some people have very relevant work experience even when they're just out of education. For example, you have some student assistant jobs, student teacher jobs that might be very relevant when you're applying. Some people might not have that much of relevant work experience yet because they have worked in... Mm-hmm. Others fields such as hospitality or anything else. So it really depends what you are going to put on top.
So what's most relevant you put on top.
Yes.
Right. This is the key word. What's relevant to the job opening? What you know qualifies me most?
Check.
And sometimes if you know there's a lot of applications that will be the same, like for example, in my faculty, if you do clinical psychology, you all have the same program basically. And then you can be smart about it and think, okay, well, I'm going to add, because I have a little bit more experience outside, I'll put that first.
Right, yeah. So for you, it's your education.
Right.
Yeah, and I had a question for job application. Would you recommend putting your grades on there?
What are your thoughts about it?
I think it is really superficial. But great. But I think it could be useful if they're high.
I think that's a very good summary.
Yeah.
In general, there is some companies that really put high value onto your GPA. Unfortunately, I would say, because your GPA is not everything. But in general, if you are very proud of one grade, for example, an internship that you got a 9 out of 10 for, I would say, put it on there. Do you have to do that for everything? Absolutely not. So that also means that if you had a 6.5 out of 10 for one of your internships and a 9 for the other one, just put the 9 out there. That's fine. You're not lying, if some people are thinking that right now. You're just doing some sort of a pick and mix, I would say. Some jobs or some companies do ask for your GPA. If that's the case, put it on there because they want to know either way.
Yeah. I do want to add that if I see a GPA at your bachelor and not in your master, then I'm curious and I want to know your GPA and your master. So if you feel like your GPA and your master is not that great, then maybe you shouldn't add the one of your bachelor either because it's going to be come up in an interview probably. And what's not great, I would say it's worth adding your GPA if it's a 3.4, like 7.5 in Dutch terms, or higher. But a 7 is fine too. But if you're below a 7, so below a 3.0, I don't think it's a recommendation. So it might not be good to put it in there.
Well, they say most of the times you, in the end, don't up with the studies that you actually do, or that's a possibility. And I know that they say motivation is really important, but sometimes I just think, okay, I think everybody can learn so much. So how do you make yourself stand out with like, okay, I've never learned it, but I can do it. how would you recommend to convey that in a CV or motivational letter?
That's a good one.
In your CV, it's quite hard to bring in personal experiences. In an interview, I would say anything that you'd feel like you would be able to do, and you have no professional or, you know, no experience in an organization, even if it's voluntary, but you feel this is a personal strength, then you can use personal examples. It's more difficult in a CV because you're here, you're showing your factual proofs of stuff. So, but you know, do think about anything that you've done, even if you've done being a mentor for other students, and you want to do something, you know, and you want to use that in your work, or that's an important skill of, you know, helping others function or working in a team, and even working in a pub or cafe will give you some skills that you can use later on, like, you know, looking at the what the client needs, or being customer friendly, or being able to deal with stress. And so it's up to you to choose the words wisely in how you describe what you've done.
Yeah. Okay.
And literally look at the job opening. So if they're asking, you know, we want people to use multivariate analysis, then make sure that multivariate analysis is in your bachelor. Where did you do this? The courses, but maybe you've used it in a thesis as well. These words, just using these keywords, is important, and is becoming more important because a lot of CVs are scanned through by AI first, and you know, they're picked out based on these keywords. But even if they're not, then people will look for this unconsciously, because you want somebody that can do multivariate analysis, then I need to see this in your CV.
Okay, but if I say, okay, I have statistical courses that I did, I don't know, 3 years back ago in my bachelor.
Yeah.
But I think I can, like, relearn or
learn
it. You would just say, okay, I can do it. And then
no, you would add statistics to your CV, because this is what you've factually done. And then in your letter, you will tell them how you think you will be able to quickly update your knowledge.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering, of course, you have to make or alter each CV for each position that you apply. Would you recommend to send out as much as like CVs as possible, or get like the quality over quantity, or how do I?
Yeah, no, I understand your question. Again, what are your own thoughts about this?
Well, I think it's always nice to have a good quality CV, but I think also you can get a little bit stuck in the loop of, is this job offer good enough for me? Is it what I want? And then in the end, I don't know if it really gets you further than if you just send out CVs.
Yeah, I mean, this is a matter of opinion. Yeah. I would say it's quality over quantity. Why? Because if you don't really modify your CV or letter to this person, to this organization, which is a person behind it, it will kind of show that you don't, you know, you're not expressing exactly what is in there, what they find important, what they've expressed in their job opening, and it's not fitted to what the company finds important or what they're doing. It shows less interest, and it shows less of a match between you two. And less interest, yeah, it's just like dating, you know? If you're not really interested in me, okay, I'll go to the next person. So yes, skills are important, but interest and motivation is so much more important. This is a big step from side jobs to jobs after your graduation. Motivation should be half of your letter, I would say. And would have to show. And motivation is not like I like your company. No, it has to be more than that. Mm-hmm. What three elements do I like about your company, and why? How does that relate to me? Mm-hmm. What's maybe a short personal story that shows my relationship to the same values that you hold, or the same mission that you have?
Okay. And if you have a company where you're like, okay, wow, this is really cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know what kind of positions they have or if it really suits me, how do you suggest what tools I use to get that information I need?
I think your best bet would be to find people who are already working there. And that can be through your personal network. It can be second connections via LinkedIn, for example. Maybe someone around you knows someone who works there. There's a lot of different ways to go about it, but you're not probably not going to find that information unless you actually talk to people who have experienced it firsthand.
Okay.
Yeah, this is where networking is so important. Also to get to know the companies that you might be interested in and think like, oh no, this one's not for me. And you will be able to express much better why organization A fits you better than organization C. And you shouldn't wait for a job opening, but you should, you know, through networking, get to know the company and then be on their list or be able to express that you've spoken to people once you send a letter.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. And I was wondering, can I also put fun stuff on there? Or is it like, I had this like, oh, I can put that I've backpack somewhere. And I was like, okay, but that, it kind of doesn't make sense, but...
Well, you say it's additional relevant experience. So why do you feel it's relevant?
Well, I guess, yeah, it taught me a lot. But I also had, oh, it would be fun if I can say that I do the... You know, the champagne bottle with a knife, I can do that. But it doesn't make sense to put it on there. But I mean, I can do it. So it gives kind of like a humorous side of me.
Yeah.
So I'm not a machine that just typed it out. But it's also, well, it's a bit random. So I don't know if they will appreciate it.
Yeah,
this is exactly why I advise people to put it on there.
Yeah.
Because you start smiling all over like when you talk about this stuff. And I feel like this is apart from like your, do you put a picture out there or not? Do you have a personal profile? Yes or no? This is something that shows your personality.
Okay.
Yeah, it does. And it matches what you've written, that your, you know, what your qualities are. Humorous, creative, thinking out of the box. So this is wonderful because if I like that qualities, then I would be interested. Like, why is this there? And this immediately could be the only reason to talk to you.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
Just this personality.
I would probably put the champagne bottle on there.
And the other thing is like, yeah, backpacking. What did you learn? Why is this relevant for this position?
Yeah.
Or for that company.
Yeah. Okay. And I have one last question about the CV part. And do you have to alter every time if it's in Dutch or English, or just send out English if it's...
My general advice for everyone is to put out the CV in the same language that is the job description.
Yep.
Okay.
So if you have a Dutch job description, I would say have a Dutch CV at the ready. In general, what I also see happening a lot more nowadays is that some people tend to have some sort of master CV where they put everything on there. So everything they did in their entire life is on there. And when they have to make a CV for a certain job, they just pick stuff out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that with a Dutch one, but also with an English one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking about that, I would never like think about, you should definitely always put everything there of the last 10 years, but you can select in that way that you, if you have had, you know, 3 side jobs working as a waitress or stuff like that, you can combine these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they're not completely the same, you could say, well, this was just a side job to support my course. But mostly for students, I would say put everything on there. Just think about what you want to describe more, because what you've described more is apparently more relevant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if your waitressing has the same amount of bullets as your research experience, I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
And my eyes will be going all over the place. But if you've have 3 bullets in your research experience, my eyes will be drawn there. And the waitress is just 1 bullet or none. Oh, well, yeah, I see references here. So I'm curious why you've put it there and how you've put it there, if you've made a conscious decision.
Yeah, so I put my professor that was my supervisor during my bachelor project. I don't think I would put it there if I want to apply for a job, because I also think now that if he gets contacted, he's like, who's this girl again?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I had 2 years ago, I was good contact, but now I don't know if he still remembers me.
Yeah, that's an important, very important reason. This person, if contacted, should know, okay, who's this person? And should know that they're in your CV.
Yeah, that they might be contacted. Yeah,
And for your application for the master's, you had to provide references.
Yeah.
Yeah. But think about references on your LinkedIn. So, because there it's able to give qualitative references. Mm-hmm. So if you've done your thesis or internship and you know, you're graded well, and this people are excited about you, ask your intern guide, or even the one from university or from the organization, if they want to give you a reference on LinkedIn. This is a very, very valuable way of... it's like, you know, when you go to bol.com or Booking, you look at the references.
The reviews.
The reviews, yeah.
Five stars for making. Now we can go to the skills part.
Yeah, I don't know. We need to talk about that long, but you've put some skills there. Can you just tell us what's there and why you've put it there?
Yeah, so this skills part is really short. It says R Studio, which is like a scientific analysis program, Microsoft PowerPoint, and ArcGIS, which is a spatial program.
Yeah. And two languages.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the R and ArcGIS are quite specific skills that are relevant for your, I would, for this master program probably, but also maybe for your next step.
Yeah, it could be, but I don't think I will be really using it anymore. So that was also what I was a little bit in a struggle with coming up with my skills, because then I'm like, okay, everything falls kind of away and I'm only left with my soft skills, because I know how to cut open a rat, but I don't think I will ever do it again.
And the important thing is, like, if you would you enjoy using ArcGIS before, for example, because if you don't, then you might not even want to put it in there, because you don't want to apply for jobs where you need that programming.
Mm-hmm. But it's also a little bit rather maybe to have zero practical skills.
Yeah, but there could be soft skills in there. It's not to say that these are only knowledge-based skills, which you've now used, but you can put in soft skills, transferable skills.
Okay.
Yeah. Microsoft PowerPoint, are you especially proficient with Microsoft PowerPoint more than the...
No, I wouldn't
general
say
person.
That.
No.
No, I thought, okay, 3 is a nice number.
Three is a nice number. I like that. That's a really good communication number. So always communicate in threes. But Microsoft PowerPoint, it's like putting Outlook there, or, you know, Safari. It's like, we all can use that. I hope that you can use it. Some people are really skilled in Microsoft PowerPoint. They can do much more than the general person, then put it in there.
Yeah.
But even for Excel, if you don't know what turntables are, don't put Excel in there, because you can know how to add some data in Excel. That's fine. But that's what anybody can do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And it actually diminishes the other skills, I would say. If you put Word in there, don't do it. No.
So let go of Microsoft Office is the general idea.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's go on to maybe the next sort of questions you have, but I think those are about LinkedIn, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Well, it relates a little bit to the point that I already made previously, that I kind of feel awkward on LinkedIn putting my information out of there, because I think it's really useful to stalk people and to see where they end up. Mm-hmm. But I also have a feeling that it says a lot about you. So people really know a lot of information, and I am a little bit hesitant to post on there. Mm-hmm. What would you advise me to, yeah, be feel safe still, but also post something?
So do you mean post as in you have to put actual messages out there for people or anything else? So do you just feel the same way about your own profile, for example?
Not more that if I stated that I study biology and I'm interested in this, and you can, I guess, say a lot about my personality and my, I don't know, political things that I like. So, yeah.
I think it's healthy to be hesitant about what you share on I don't know if the word's even used, the internet, on apps, on whatever, on social media. It's good to be hesitant about that because, you know, it's becoming more and more something where AI dives into and will, yes, generate a profile of who you are and maybe draw conclusions on your political convictions or whatever. That's not to say that you don't... So that's your personal boundary. What do you want to share? Mm-hmm. What do you feel comfortable with? Who are you as a person? And how urgent you need this tool to find a job or to contact other people.
I think there are some various ways that you can use LinkedIn in. Okay. So some people just have a profile, do some looking around, look up people, look up job descriptions and stuff, but that's it.
Yeah.
And some people are really out there. So some people are reacting to other people's posts, are posting themselves quite regularly. If I'm going to be honest, that's also not what I'm doing. And people tend to think that we as career officers use LinkedIn as our holy grail and stuff. That's definitely not the case. It's totally okay if you use LinkedIn just for your own advantage. And outside of that, you just keep quiet.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing to remember that LinkedIn has some privileges with Google, I think. So mm-hmm. when people Google your name, LinkedIn is going to be on top. So that's the first thing that people are going to see when they Google you. And I don't think that people are Googling other people that often, but still, if you feel like I don't want people to find certain kind of information, then just leave it out. Don't say it.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
But this is interesting because be aware of what you've posted before. Anywhere. So let's let other people Google you and see what comes up and if you're happy with what comes up, or that you maybe need to ask the website to remove that comment or to
mm-hmm.
because okay. people will look you up.
Yeah.
And I think if I want to add, if you really want to contact other people through LinkedIn, which I feel is just a really, you know, important step, networking, to explore the job market and to find jobs. Yeah, it's a two-way thing. So if you don't share that much, you might not get that many responses. If there's no picture, for example, it's like somebody calling you up and you don't know who it is and they're asking for you to have a coffee date. You're like, well, you're not showing your picture. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or you're not saying anything on your profile on what you want or how we connect, then maybe not. So this is a thing to think about.
Yeah. Okay. So you would also, if I'm interested in a position, just ask via LinkedIn, just message like, hey, I'm interested. Can you tell a little bit more about your position?
Yeah, if there's a job opening, then it's different. And then starting to network when there's a job opening is not really a smart thing, unless it's somebody that's not related to that job opening. But people will refer you to say, okay, well, I can answer a few questions and then please apply.
Yeah.
But if you have organizations now that you want to, you know, you're interested in, please network and then definitely reach out to people and ask, can you tell me more about your work? Mm-hmm. Not like, do you have a job for me, but can you tell me more about your organization and your work?
Yeah. And if you send people messages, it's also good to find something that you have in common. So for example, if they graduated from the same master program that you did, people tend to be more reactive to that because they feel like, oh, we have something in common. I want to help you.
We're in the same group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So always point out the group you're in together. Maybe it's your same high school, same region you're from. Yeah.
Okay, and one last question about like job applications. I would say that imagine there's a position, but you have a job description that's like, okay, this sounds interesting, maybe a little bit vague, and you apply. Is it then, I also saw an internship where you have to already say what kind of money you want to earn. And I was like, can you also ask for an internship, or would you say, okay, just try the paid job and quit if you don't like it?
I would ask for more information. I would call them up and say, I'm looking at your job opening. I like it, but can you maybe be more specific on what I'm going to do, which mm-hmm. project I'm going to work on, what my day is going to look like? These are perfectly fine questions. And also, it's an advantage to already have contacted the person before you send your letter. And only if you have good questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And that's something that you could have looked up yourself by Googling the company, for example.
Yeah.
You also ask, should I ask for an internship if they have a job opening out there on the same topic? If you have already graduated, I wouldn't ask for an internship.
No.
You're going to do unpaid work and you have the same skill set as something of someone they can hire for that position. So you don't have to do that to yourself. You're fully capable of applying to that position. You have the skill set that they want. Please don't do the unpaid internship.
Okay, thank you for answering my questions. This was my list.
Do you have any final questions for Maaike?
Maybe, I don't want to extend this session, but maybe just one, you brought another CV of Hannah and you thought it was a good CV. What one thing, if you also listened to what we said right now, do you feel she's done quite well?
When I look at it, I feel just impressed, I guess, with all the things that she seems to have done. Well, we've done the same bachelor degree, so in fact it should be really similar, but I still like, wow, you did this. I'm like, oh yeah, I did that too. But yeah, I don't know, I think
so was she able to describe it better or more extensive, or
I think she is really capable of like highlighting what's important. Maybe for other people this would be overcrowding, but I guess for her job application it's really like, okay, wow, look at what I can do.
Yeah, it is to me, it's a little bit overwhelming, the amount of information that's on there.
Okay.
Which is daunting. Like, where do I start? Mm-hmm. What do I need to read? If she has 12 skills or so, and we're talking about this openly, it's not to, you know, say that this is not a good CV, mm-hmm. but having 12 skills, then my mind is just going, okay, what skill is important? What do I need to read? So in that sense, yes, you only have 3 skills, but it's more focused in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I would advise her to have a look at the job opening and you know, go down to 5 or 6 skills.
Okay, so maybe like remove the driver license, for example.
Or put that under personal info. That's also possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another thing I'm seeing in these skills, it's in alphabetical order, which is interesting because I feel like it's better to put the most relevant skill on top instead of do it in alphabetical order.
Mm-hmm.
For this person, I would have one recommendation, which is make a division between these are my hard skills, but for example, my lab skills, and this is what I'm doing outside of that. So my soft skills, what am I like personally?
Yeah. And there's a certain decisiveness in what she's all put down, and there's a lot. So that's why I like as well. So it's like, okay, this is a self-conscious person that's, you know, knows, is not afraid to communicate about herself. But I am having trouble with navigating. What is most important? So I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 research experiences. They're all described in the same length. Which one do I need to see?
Okay.
Yeah.
So to close off, what if listeners are dealing with the same issues or have similar questions as Maaike has? And where can they go?
There's different ways to go about this. So it really depends on your own preference, I would say. Some people really like to hear this kind of stuff, this kind of information in a group, and have a variety of tips to also hear from others what they have, what they think about it. So in that case, I would recommend to follow a workshop about CVs, cover letters. You can do that via Career Services. And if I say it correctly, it's students.uu.nl/careerservices where you can find all of these workshops. If you feel like that's something that you have passed already and you just need some personal advice, another tip is to book an appointment with your career officer. For the Faculty of Medicine, if you are from the GSLS, that would be either me or my colleague Marte. And you are very welcome to discuss your CV with us if that's necessary.
Great.
Yeah.
That's all we have time for.
Right.
I want to thank you all very much for being here. I think it was a lovely discussion. I hope you got your questions answered, Maaike.
Yes, I certainly did. Thank you.
Thank you for your openness, Maaike.
Yes, it was lovely to have you. Thank you all for being here, and thank you, listeners, for listening. Goodbye. Radio Life Sciences. Radio Life Sciences. Radio. Welcome to the Radio Life Sciences podcast for a behind-the-scenes look into GSLS. Made by students and educators for the scientists of tomorrow.